I think we can all agree the current political moment is fraught. But how does it compare to the other fraught political moments in history?
It felt for a time in part of that decade like everything was falling apart. Young people against old people, anti-war violence, peace movement.
I'm former U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara. And this week, presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin joins me on my podcast, Stay Tuned with Preet. We talk about difficult times in America's history and how its people overcame them. The episode is out now. Search and follow Stay Tuned with Preet wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you ever been invited by a friend or a family member to a coffee shop? Or maybe a lunch date? And after agreeing, you get there and realize that they don't just want to catch up. It turns out, they've got a great business opportunity for you. All you got to do is spend a little money on the front end to buy some protein supplements or meal replacement smoothies, or maybe it's some prestige nourishing face cream. And pretty soon, you'll be living the dream. If you've been here before, I have full faith that your bullshit allergy kicked in and you got the hell out of there. And I'm proud of you because you were in the presence of bullshit. It's an enormously popular variety of bullshit called an MLM or multi-level marketing scheme. Millions of people get taken in by these, and the people at the top make billions and wield a lot of power. And if you don't know much about it, you should. I'm Sean Illing, and this is The Gray Area. Today's guest is Jane Marie. She's a journalist, a former producer of This American Life, and the host of a provocative podcast series called The Dream. It investigates the world of MLMs and pyramid schemes and wellness, and shows how these industries all spring from the same fraudulent well. Her new book is called Selling the Dream, and it takes an even deeper dive into the history of MLMs. In the end, this is all about the industries that prey on the credulity and desperation of everyday people, whether it's the big MLM companies or the life coaching gurus on social media. They're all kind of the same. Anyway, there's a ton here, so I invited Jane onto the show to talk about it. Jane Marie, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
All right, Jane, I'm very excited to do this podcast with you, and we're going to do it in just a second, I promise. But first, I really have to tell you about this exciting new venture I'm working on. It's an incredible business opportunity, and if you want to be rich and be your own boss,
I do.
You got to get in on the ground floor right now. What do you say?
I really do, yes.
Okay, I just need your social security number, your routing and checking account numbers, and boom, you're off and running.
Look, if any of that was true, I would be the first person to sign up. Yes, I want money and I want my life to be easier.
So tell me how you got pulled into this world of multi-level marketing schemes. It is a kind of strange and fascinating and enraging history, but it's not something you hear about very often. So how did you find yourself neck deep in it?
Well, that's the interesting part, is it's something you don't hear about very often, although millions and millions of people participate in it. I mean, I initially got pulled into this world by my great-grandma, Maxine, who sold Avon. But all through my childhood and growing up, I grew up outside of Flint, Michigan, like in a very rural area, and everybody in my family pretty much does some sort of MLM or has done some sort of MLM. And my uncle, Joe, whenever he gets into a new one, he like announces at like Thanksgiving at the dinner table, like, I got a new job. And then you're like, what is it? And he's like, Herbalife.
And so it begins.
I'm like, I don't think you know what a job is. Yeah. you know, they're not wealthy people, any of them. And so that was also interesting because they keep trying it over and over again, but live in poverty. So all of that seemed kind of like a puzzle worth taking apart.
What is the simplest definition of an MLM?
basically, if you picture a triangle, there's people that own it at the very top. Then they recruit, say, five people. And then the way the scheme goes is those five people are supposed to recruit five. And then those five are supposed to recruit five. And it kind of expands exponentially. And the way multi-level marketing companies differentiate themselves from straight-up pyramid schemes is that there's some sort of product or service involved. So, for example, Amway, they started the scheme before they had a product. They decided they wanted to be the pyramid shape and then went shopping for a product, so they chose soap. And so in every pyramid scheme, there's a product, sort of, but it doesn't actually get sold to hardly anyone outside of that pyramid. It gets sold to people being recruited into it. Almost all of them have a sign-up fee. They have usually a kit or like a collection of products that you have to purchase right away when you join. And that money is what flows up the pyramid. And the people at the very bottom often quit pretty quickly because they're not making any money. And then they're replaced by more eager, hopeful folks who buy what the company is selling, which is, you know, false hope.
So is there a meaningful distinction between a pyramid scheme and an MLM? As best I can tell, MLMs are just a species of pyramid scheme, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I believe that. But the legal difference, which is debatable, is that there is a valid product or service. But when you dig a little deeper, the products are typically overpriced. They're not something unique. They're things you can find in the regular marketplace for a lot cheaper, or the service is offering something that's cheaper and works better. There's new MLMs that are like credit card MLMs that just operate off of fees. So they say that there's a product being sold, but really it's just being sold to the people entering at the bottom of the pyramid.
Right.
Also, like, okay, you're in an MLM, right? And you find someone who wants to try your product. You're told that's your next recruit. Like that person, and you, and what you say to them in the pitch is, this will be $75. However, if you want to join my downline and my team, you can get it for $49. So sign up. Sign up to sell it yourself. Then you can share it with your friends. And then you can also have it for cheaper.
Right.
My grandma's probably involved in like five different MLMs right now just to get a discount. Seriously. And then she tries to hawk it to me, you know, and I'm like, I can buy cheaper essential oils elsewhere.
Right. So you have these kind of garbage, overpriced products. But the other thing is that they rely on these sales models that are just wildly unrealistic, right? Which is why the vast majority of people who get roped into these things do not make money. In fact, they lose money.
Yeah, 99% lose money.
That's a big number. Is it really 99%?
It's 99%, yeah. Only 1% even make a dollar.
Wow. What is the classic case study example of an MLM? Something everyone will know of, even if they don't know what an MLM is. Is it like Amway or Mary Kay, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's Amway, Mary Kay, Avon, Tupperware. Those are the old ones. I think recently people are becoming more aware or re-aware of these companies because of the LuLaRoe scandal.
What's that?
That's the company that sold buttery soft leggings and dresses in horrible prints, like hideous clothing. They began their pyramid scheme with selling grab bag boxes. So when you signed up to sell LuLaRoe, you didn't even know what you were getting. It was thousands of dollars. And that one fell apart recently in a very public way. And there's been a couple documentaries made about it. They just grew too fast and couldn't keep up. And their quality went down. And they just had terrible business practices. But a lot of people have sued them. There's class action lawsuits. They have been found guilty in a couple of different courts. They're the most recent MLM, I think, that people would maybe recognize. That and Herbalife. And that's a diet shake company that my grandpa used to drink. And my grandma loved it. She was like, oh, he's losing so much weight. But then in the 90s, people found out that it had like ephedrine in it or something. Like it had some sort of speed in it. And then they had to take that out. And then it still exists, but it's not speed anymore.
Are they the biggest one still?
Amway is the biggest one.
Amway, still?
Yeah. Oh. I know. Well, also Amway was kind of the earliest to go international. So, you know, they expanded their markets all over the world before any of these other ones did. They're the oldest that still exists. The guys who started Amway, DeVos and Van Andel, they were in Nutrilite, which is like essentially the very first MLM. It was a vitamin company right around the time that we started selling vitamins. They had people dress up in lab coats and go to pharmacies and stand around selling the Nutrilite and pretend they were doctors. That was the first real MLM that looks the same as the ones we have today. And Van Andel and DeVos were salesmen for that company, and they noticed that the business model was very effective. Like, people would sign up to become a seller, spend a bunch of money at first, fail, quit, and then someone else would sign up and do the same thing. And so they thought, why don't we have one of these? It doesn't need to be vitamins, because we don't want the FDA looking at us, or, you know, we don't want to be selling something that seems a little iffy. And so, yeah, they left there to go sell soap.
Is that when Amway was founded?
Yeah, right around then, like right after World War II. And then also that's basically when, a little after Tupperware started. Avon's even older than all of these, but Avon didn't figure out this business structure until a little bit later.
Do we have any idea how many active MLMs there are now, and how many billions the industry brings in every year?
1 in 13 adults have participated in an MLM.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot, but not to me. Like, 12 and 13 of my adults have participated. So I'm tipping the scales a little bit with, like, my family and friends. So it might be zero for you, but it's 12 or 13 for me. And they've expanded also into, like, developing countries. There's, like, a huge MLM presence now in Southeast Asia and in Mexico and South America. And it's worth 40, 50 billion, something like that, at the moment. Probably more, I'm guessing.
Someone you interviewed said something that really jumped out to me. And what they said was something to the effect of, we miss something important if we only see the appeal of MLMs in financial terms. What is this getting at?
Well, one, the fun. It can be really fun. These companies, they like a lot of pomp and circumstance. So there's a lot of awards events, and there's like ranking lists where you get, you know, your face all over social media for moving up the ranks. You get to hang out with your girlfriends every weekend for work. There's a lot of value in these social interactions and the status that you can gain from an MLM, even if you're losing money. And I've spoken to a lot of people who were involved in it for that reason. I think my grandma was in Avon mainly for that reason. She wasn't really making money from Avon, but it was fun. It just reminds me of people who are, you know, at the casino doing penny slots. Like, they're having fun. They're losing money and having fun. So
I don't think anyone has ever pitched me on an MLM. What is wrong with me? Do I not look like a high energy seller? I mean, I don't.
You don't have the right friends. Yeah, your friends, they don't believe in you. Mm-mm. No, there are communities where it doesn't happen, you know? It's huge, but it's not necessarily everywhere. Like, I don't come across MLMs in the wild as much in LA as I did in the Midwest. However, I was at the airport in Burbank a couple weeks ago, and there was an Amway saleswoman there. Man, she was going after everybody. It was awesome. She had a briefcase. She was wearing like a Ann Taylor Loft, like, skirt suit and heels. And I kept mouthing to people, it's a pyramid scheme. But she was just walking up to strangers in the bar at the airport. And then I wondered if, like, she had bought the ticket just to be inside the airport, like whether she was even going anywhere. You don't really see it out here quite as much, but don't feel bad that you haven't been approached.
Why are women disproportionately the target of these scams? Because I forget the number, but like the overwhelming.
It's like 75-80%.
So what's going on there?
Basically, they target any population that would need a scheme like this in their life to add money to their bank. So Christian women who have traditional Christian values of staying home and taking care of the kids get involved often with the promise of making a little money in their free time while they can also raise their kids. It's kind of having it all. You can stay home and you can even homeschool your children and still be making money selling leggings or candles. And that sounds really good. Like, if I was one of those women, I would say, oh, I'll take an extra $500 a month. just having makeup parties with my friends. And the product offerings, there are a lot of products that appeal to women on purpose because the companies know that's their audience that's going to want to put in this much work on a very part-time side hustle. There are a few MLMs that target men, but for the most part, they're beauty products and wellness products, things that girls want to sell to each other. Right. I have been to a ton of these parties, and they're super fun. Like, I have been tempted more times than I can count. You know, if I didn't have anything going on, why wouldn't I spend my Saturday inviting all my girlfriends over to, like, play with makeup? It makes total sense to me.
Yeah, I just cannot emphasize enough to people listening that MLMs thrive in rural areas, on military bases where spouses are often alone with their kids, like basically anywhere susceptible populations are, because that's where you can find people who are just seeking agency in their lives, or people who are genuinely suffering and searching for hope.
Exactly.
But this is what really offends me so much about this whole business. And it's why I developed a really vigorous contempt for religious entrepreneurs, like very early in my life. Like, they're feeding on the same emotions, and it's really disgusting.
Well, they're feeding on the idea that all of us in America, at least, were raised to believe that work hard, try hard, get rewarded. The world is your oyster. And that just simply isn't true, but the promise is still very attractive. The appeal of the American dream, it doesn't ever really go away. And the architects of these schemes understand that that's all you really need to appeal to. Is remember how when you were growing up, you were told that you should be able to achieve anything you want? We're going to be the only company that gives you that opportunity and doesn't ask you if you have a high school diploma. We don't care if you're a felon. You can do anything and be anything. And they're specifically going after groups that need that opportunity, or that feel they need that opportunity and aren't given that opportunity by the mainstream marketplace. It sucks.
It does suck. And it, yeah. And it's pretty revealing that, you know, so many people who buy into this, they don't think of it as selling products, right? They think of it as like selling a story.
Yes.
You know, and what's that story? It's the American dream. It's financial freedom, be your own boss, all that stuff.
Yeah. And I've talked to so many who have failed in one MLM and just leave to do another one. Because again, if the story was true that you could join an MLM, be your own boss, set your own hours, not work too much, have passive income coming in from your downline, from the people you've recruited, all of that would be lovely.
Well, it must be a really powerful story if 99% of people lose money and somehow it keeps working.
Well, studies have been done where people are shown the real numbers, like shown, okay, 99% chance if you sign up for this, you're going to lose money. It's going to be $100 to sign up and you're never going to see that again. And you're probably going to lose more. But if you look here on this chart, 1% make over a dollar, 0.5% make over $500, 0.1% make, you know, over $1,000. And it goes smaller and smaller increments like that, but bigger and bigger money. There are people who look at just that slice of the pie and say, I'm one of those people. I'm not one of the 99%. And another part of the pitch is just the hard work and the mindset part. So there are people who look at that 1% and say, I have the right mindset. I'm a go-getter. I'm a salesperson. Like, I can do this. The other 99% were probably lazy. They didn't have focus. They gave up too soon. They weren't willing to sacrifice for the project.
Right.
MLM started to offer coaching as another way to supplement their revenue stream. And this started way back, like, and this is in the 50s and 60s. Almost all of them do this. They don't call them coaching packages necessarily, but they offer like supplemental materials that you can buy to become a better seller. And there are coaches out there who just coach MLM sellers.
When we get back from the break, we'll talk about the relationship between MLMs and life coaches. Stay with us. Support for The Gray Area comes from Shopify. Imagine an action movie where the hero has to sell 1,000 Barbra Streisand t-shirts in 72 hours to save a major American city. Save the city from what, exactly? That's for audiences to decide. But how would they do it? They'd use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform flexible enough to help your business sell at every stage of growth, whether you're the main character in a tentpole action movie or the real-life CEO of a multinational company. No matter what you're making, Shopify can help you sell it. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person point-of-sale system, Shopify offers the flexibility to support your operation. They also offer something called Shopify Magic, an AI-powered helper created to help you stress less and sell more. Try it for yourself. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/box. You can go to shopify.com/box now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/box. Support for this show comes from NetSuite. All too often, people like the owl monkey and the Australian sea lion only see the world in black or white. Now, regular listeners of this podcast, who are mostly humans, understand that the world is more complicated than that. There's also plenty of gray areas. The world of business is a great example. See what I did there? An S&P 500 company and a small business owner have to see things differently, which is why NetSuite wants to provide products and services tailor-made for any business. NetSuite is a top-rated cloud financial system that brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into a single platform. NetSuite lives in the cloud, which can reduce IT costs and can improve efficiency and cut back on mistakes by bringing all your major business processes into one platform. NetSuite says that more than 37,000 companies have already made the move. Maybe it's time you did the same. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. You can head to netsuite.com/gray area. netsuite.com/gray area. netsuite.com/gray area. Support for the Gray Area comes from Bombas. How's your sock drawer looking these days? Underwhelming? Is it the seat of all your disappointments? A wasteland of unmatched, sandpaper-rough foot sleeves? Well, this spring, you can start looking forward to opening that sock drawer again with Bombas. Finally, I have something to look forward to. Bombas socks have all kinds of features, like honeycomb arch support, anti-blister tabs, and cushioned footbeds. Bombas also sells clothes for other body parts, like t-shirts and underwear. Also, Bombas wants to make returns and exchanges easy with their 100% happiness guarantee. So if the dryer or anything else eats a sock, or if you're unhappy with your purchase for virtually any reason, they say they'll do whatever they can to replace it or make it right. Bombas sent me a few pairs of socks a while back, and they're my favorite socks. I'm literally wearing a pair right now. I know I'm supposed to say nice things here, but it's true. So there you go. You can get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/gray area and use code gray area for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/gray area and use code gray area at checkout. I want to zoom out a little bit from MLMs, but not entirely, because anyone who listens to the show knows that I am not a fan of the wellness industry and the whole vapid world of life coaching. Mm-hmm. And the thing that really drove me to your book and your show is how you draw a straight line between all of that and MLMs. Can you tell me about the connections here? Like, why is the story of MLMs also the story about the rise of wellness hucksters and life coaches?
It's kind of an endless circle, chicken, egg kind of thing, but I'll tell you the elements that I see. One thing is that MLMs, wellness, and life coaching all preach this idea that they don't want you to know that there is a cheat code to life. Right. Like, they don't want you to know that you don't have to go to therapy. You just need a life coach. They don't want you to know that you don't have to do chemotherapy. You just need to buy this vitamin or this oil. They don't want you to know that you don't have to go to college. You can just sell Tupperware. And so that mindset of the us versus them, kind of there is a shortcut and a cheat code to financial prosperity, to, you know, achieving the American dream. So that's how I saw them all fitting together.
The real scam, from what I can tell, are the life coaches who have figured it out. And what they figured out is that the real play is to not just be a life coach, it's to be a coach of life coaches.
Mm-hmm. Coaches coaching coaches.
This is absolutely a pyramid scheme. There's this guy, let's just say I used to know him.
It's Tony Robbins.
Tony.
You're not that old. You're not that old.
Almost. But I discovered recently that this is what he does. He coaches life coaches, and he has created a whole course to show people how to make millions like him.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was a total piece of shit when I knew him, but he was charismatic. And now he has like shape-shifted into some kind of new age douchebag Socrates. And it appears to be working very well for him because...
Appears is an important word that you just used,
well,
but go on.
He's buying a new car every month, it seems.
He could be living off credit, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. He's selling a lot there. But it is a straight-up pyramid scheme because it is relying on this fantasy that there's an infinite supply of clients out there for these aspiring life coaches. And maybe there is in theory, at least. But the reality is that almost every one of these people are going to spend thousands, and it is thousands of dollars he charges, taking this stupid guy's stupid course, and they're not going to make any of it back. And it's just crazy to me.
Unless they develop their own course, which is also what he's teaching them. He's showing them the way to make money selling the course.
But that's the whole game though, right? The music is going to stop and not everyone is going to have a chair to sit in, right?
That's absolutely right. But those people who like these sorts of schemes think that that's fairness. They believe that not everyone's going to have a chair to sit in and that is just, that makes sense to them. Not everyone gets to be a billionaire. Only the smartest, most hardworking people are billionaires, which we all know isn't true. But that is a mindset. And if you go into something like this with that sort of mindset, you have to presuppose there are going to be people who lose big time. And I think people who really buy into this stuff feel like that's fair. Like there should be losers. And if I gain from their loss, like that's on them, not me. That's the ickiest part to me.
If 99% are losers, I mean, that's a rigged game.
Have you ever heard of a guy, his name's Donald Trump?
It rings a bell.
That is exactly what that guy is talking about constantly. It's an us and them thing. It's I'm smarter than everyone. The dude can't pay his bills, okay? But he is a billionaire, and we've all been led to believe that for decades, that he's super wealthy. Now we're finding out that he can't pay his bills. He really doesn't care if people lose. That's good for him. It means he's smarter. He outsmarted them. He outsmarted the system.
Yeah, I sometimes hear these centrist establishment liberal types shrieking about how like un-American Trump is. And my reaction every time is, I don't know what you're talking about. This guy is the most truly American president I've ever seen, in the sense that he actually embodies our actual culture. Like,
yes.
The consumerism, the decadence, the shallowness, the hype, the spectacle of wealth.
Yeah.
You may not like it, but this is America, baby. I mean, like,
I feel like the most important part of that formula for all of us is that he talks about it as if he's a self-made person and as if he got there on merit. That's part of the folklore that we all believe, that he tried hard, and that's what he tells us, is he tried harder than the rest of us, and that's why he is where he is. He just wanted it more, which we all kind of shame ourselves every morning for not getting up earlier and wanting it more. And that's where life coaches come in too, as they're supposed to teach you how to want it more.
Okay, so the other side of the wellness industry is also bullshit, but it's a little different. And I'm talking about the world of essential oils and supplements and tinctures and alternative therapies and all that kind of stuff. I mean, is someone like Gwyneth Paltrow like patient zero for this particular disease, or is she just like the perfect representation of it?
No, there were famous snake oil salesmen in the late 1800s, like super famous.
Yeah, I guess I sort of mean like in the modern kind of, you know, digital era.
In the modern era, yeah, I would say she is the poster woman for the wellness industry. And even she's gotten in trouble for peddling garbage. she had that jade egg that you were supposed to put in your vagina.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. Tell me about the jade egg. People need to know about the jade egg.
She didn't know what it did. She was like, I don't know. I should probably look that up. But it's supposed to be good for you. That was literally her knowledge of what the jade egg would do.
Oh, also that it's like an ancient Chinese ritual, right? Something like that.
Yeah, that was on the website, is ancient Chinese ritual, helps your pelvic floor, et cetera, can help with like any, you know, it went on and on. And people believed it could help with certain cancers in that area and things like that. So eventually she was sued and lost and had to pay like, I don't know, $150,000, like nothing for her in this lawsuit about all the claims that she made about the jade egg. But it was a huge news story for her and brought a lot more people to her website, Goop. You could look it up right now. It would take you 1 minute to find something absolutely ridiculous on her website with some wild claims. What she is really great at, what her company is really great at, are these things called structure function claims. And they're a sneaky rhetorical way to get around the legal issues in marketing a wellness product. So you cannot say that a wellness product or a supplement, anything that hasn't been officially vetted, true studies have been done on it, and the FDA has truly approved it, anything that hasn't gone through that rigorous process, cannot say this cures diabetes or extends your life. It'll say something like, it boosts your body's ability to fight diabetes, or it enhances longevity. There are these words that don't promise anything, but they hint at stuff and they're almost identical, but they're different enough that it's not illegal. So structure function claims are everywhere on Goop, everywhere. Yeah, that's the way that she gets away with selling all this garbage.
I just chuckled listening to your interview. I forget the woman's name. She runs a consumer protection nonprofit. And, you know, she's talking about how you have something like Goop and Gwyneth on the one hand and InfoWars and Alex Jones on the other hand. And they're basically peddling the same products. They're just targeted to very different audiences, which is crazy.
Yeah. I said that on the show. Maybe you're thinking of me. I don't know. Alex Jones and Gwyneth Paltrow sell identical products. Some of their supplements are the exact same thing. There's been a lot of recent scholarship about the MLM to wellness to QAnon pipeline. But QAnon has the same thing I was talking about with wellness, life coaching, and MLMs, which is they don't want you to know. There is a secret. There's a secret out there that if you just find the secret, your life's going to be different, you know, and that's what the QAnon stuff is.
I don't think it's surprising at all.
And no.
If I'm looking for the thread that ties it all together, it is like this combination of a basic distrust of experts, a suspicion of experts,
yep,
with a kind of feeling of maybe powerlessness in your own life, and you're looking for a way to escape that, and this provides a kind of hope.
It's absolutely well-earned, and especially in the health field, there's too many examples to name of our government and big pharma, you know, teaming up to pull some trickery. The most famous one everyone knows about is the Tuskegee experiments. But there's other things like irradiated oatmeal was like a big project for a while to see if radiation in Quaker oats did something. There's plenty of examples of the government okaying the idea that they would just experiment on us or putting a medication out there that is highly dangerous. And then also like the prices of pharmaceuticals, that's gone completely nuts. So someone offers you an alternative and says that it works and it'll cost you a tenth of the money and it's safe and no one's died from it. I'm in.
Why doesn't the FDA regulate any of this stuff in the wellness supplement space? I mean, could they even if they wanted to?
They put boundaries around it a couple, two, three times. They have some laws over the last 100 years around what constitutes food and drug. So they have to define that, right? Like, what is a food and what is a drug? Well, a drug is something that actually is proven to treat, cure, or alleviate an ailment. And that has to be proven a certain way according to their guidelines. And then foods are, you know, things that keep you alive. So that leaves a lot of stuff out there that people can just make up and say, this will help with this or that. It's not a drug and it's not a food, but you probably want to drink it, you know, because it's going to make you feel better or in some way. They do get in trouble every once in a while when people do get sick. Like, there's been plenty of them that have been found to have high levels of lead or, you know, other poisonous metals. And then they get closed down after that. But the FDA doesn't really have the bandwidth to, like, check out every single bottle of vitamins at Whole Foods, you know?
Well, you got to love how the industry's response to all this is always like some version of, hey, you know, these people, the government, they just want to steal away your freedom. You know,
it's the weirdest thing to me.
It's your God-given right to be hoodwinked.
Well,
and I do get it, right? Like, we should have a right to do whatever we want with our own bodies, to put whatever we want into our own bodies. But we should also have a right to not be lied to be informed about the products we consume. That's it.
The trickiest thing about the vitamin stuff is you don't know actually what's in them. So if, like, if I'm going to buy vitamin C does nothing. I mean, you need it, but you don't need thousands of milligrams a day, and it's not going to get rid of your cold. And so if that was what's in the bottle, it's fine to take it. It's not going to kill you. But there is no agency that tests every different factory's vitamin C or says, this is how much vitamin C is actually in that pill. And there have been plenty of cases of someone finally testing, you know, some bottle of vitamins from the grocery store and finding out, actually, there's no vitamin C in here. It's sugar or whatever. It's like something else entirely. So that's really scary. Going back to your point about the individual freedom, in the 80s, I believe, maybe early 90s, Mel Gibson did a series of commercials about the government coming after your vitamins. It was about vitamin C in particular, but it was really about, like, all of the supplement industry. The lobby paid for him to star in these commercials where it was like a SWAT team coming into his house and going through his cupboards and taking all of his vitamins. And then his action hero character being like, get your hands off my vitamins. Those are my civil rights.
I'm toggling a little bit back and forth between this and MLMs, but again, it's the same stuff.
It's the same stuff. You want to live forever and be rich. I get it. Me too.
After one more short break, why hasn't anyone cracked down on all these bullshit scams? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and this is Unlocking Us. In this podcast, we'll explore ideas, stories, experiences, research, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human, from the bravest moments to our most brokenhearted moments. Some episodes will be conversations with the people who are teaching me, challenging me, confusing me, maybe ticking me off a little bit. And some days I'll just talk directly to you about what I'm learning and how it's changing the way I think and feel. The first episodes are out now. We're going to do 3 or 4 part series every quarter, so about 12 to 15 episodes a year. Unlocking Us will always drop on Wednesdays. And now you can find me wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. You can get new episodes as soon as they are published by following Unlocking Us on your favorite podcast app. And as always, stay awkward, brave, and kind.
Want Once upon a time in America, there was no such thing as all-you-can-eat shrimp. And then the world changed.
Today, shrimp is the most popular, the most consumed seafood in America. The endless shrimp fiesta is an American institution.
But that shrimp fiesta comes at a steep price. Here at Gastropod, we found out that hidden behind the delicious shrimp on your plate is environmental disaster and modern-day slavery.
So can you have your shrimp and a clear conscience too? Actually, yes, and we've got the secret to help you unlock true, lifelong shrimp happiness. Listen to the latest episode of Gastropod wherever you get your podcasts.
So, with the MLMs in particular, there's a whole story here about why the worst of this stuff hasn't been criminalized, really, and shut down. What's the point of a Bureau of Consumer Protection if it can't put an end to this kind of thing? But as I learned with your reporting, there have been several cases. They have tried to shut this down, and they failed. Why?
There have also been several where they win. They do find success sometimes. They're just not big enough. We've lumped all of their tasks. So all of this sort of fraud that we're talking about, for example, the wellness stuff, right? Like the fraudulent claims on pill bottles is overseen by the same governmental department that oversees promises of millions of dollars from an MLM, that oversees credit card fraud, that oversees identity theft, that looks at phishing scams. The problem is there's too many scammers. And there's too many people willing to fall for it or, you know, people who are desperate. And so they're underfunded. They have less money than, like, even one of the smallest MLMs. Like, they don't have the funding to go after all these companies. We would have to build a new system for regulating this sort of stuff. And we're trending toward deregulating everything. Deregulation is, like, very cool, very hip right now. So I don't see that happening anytime soon. But if I were in charge, if I were president, I would put a lot more funding into the FTC.
Well, there was a famous case against Amway, right? You talked to the attorney who was prosecuting that case. And mm-hmm. I don't think he wanted to quite say it explicitly, but he did kind of say it, which is they had a case, but basically because of political corruption, they lost. And that was a huge landmark case.
Political corruption and cleverness on the part of the defendants. So they had shut down a couple of other MLMs like right before this. And so they used the same technique and arguments to go after Amway. But the dudes who ran Amway, Van Andel and DeVos, were friends with President Ford. And they had all kinds of political ties. I mean, one of them ended up like running the finance part of the RNC and just are very well connected. Reagan spoke at some other conferences, and they were in court, and I think just decided to lie. That's the cleverness part. They like said, oh, actually, the thing you're accusing us of, we have guardrails in place for that. It's right here on this piece of paper. We just wrote it down.
They just totally made them up, right? They just totally
they
made
did.
Them up. Yeah. It's like they just scribbled the shit on a napkin. And like, oh, see?
Yeah. Like, oh, let's just tell them that we already have this, all of these rules for our sellers to not lie to people.
Yeah.
No one's ever found evidence that they existed before that court date.
It's basically the honor system, right?
Uh-huh. That's how all MLMs operate to this day. They're all self-regulated. There is not a regulator watching. And none of them that I know of have, like, hired an outside firm to make sure that their sellers and the, you know, uplines aren't lying to the downlines and that people aren't blatantly going out and ripping people off.
This story about the political power and corruption of the MLM industry, from Ford to Reagan to the Bushes to Clinton to Obama, and of course to Trump, right? It's the same story over and over and over again.
Yeah. And Kamala. Did you see the Kamala one?
No. What did she do?
Basically, her husband was working as a lawyer for Herbalife when the injunction came down that they needed to stop, you know, selling stuff in California. And she was the state attorney general, and she didn't enforce it.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Doug was not necessarily on the case, but he was at the same firm. So there's just all kinds of like shady things like that. But it doesn't surprise. It's like rich people all help each other, you know, like powerful people all help each other. It's why I don't have any money. I don't know any rich or powerful people. I don't know them.
They're playing a different game, Jane.
They are. It's a different world. They really are.
I just want to be rich and be my own boss.
Me too. And I just want to take a vitamin that makes sure I don't ever get cancer.
Someone you interviewed was talking about the housing bubble and the recession in 2008, 2009, all of that, and how all of that was basically a kind of pyramid scheme. And then I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, man, if you zoom out enough, in some ways, like, the whole damn economy is a giant pyramid scheme. And when bubbles burst, the government steps in to save it, you know?
Sean, I hate to tell you this. Money isn't real. You know, is that our next episode? Should I come back? But like, we're making the whole thing up, you know? Well, we're not, but the powers that be are. I don't feel that differently, I guess. But I think there is a way of living where you are trying to be conscientious and take care of your fellow man and not take advantage of people. And then there's a way of living that says, you know, they're going to get taken advantage of anyway. Why not by me?
Yep. There is something admittedly tantalizing about that kind of thinking. I'm not going to pretend like I would be invulnerable to that.
I didn't even go to enough church to like feel the way I do. I don't know where it comes from, but I just don't like hurting people. But I've met plenty of people. I did a bunch of reporting after the housing crisis in 2008. And one story that I did for This American Life with my friend Adam Davidson, we went to a bar on Wall Street and I got into like this screaming match with these financiers who had been bailed out by the government. And they told me point blank, the reason we still have jobs is because we're smarter than you. Like, we could see it all crashing. We knew what was happening. And so we profited off of it. Hmm. You didn't see that happening. You couldn't tell that it was happening. So you didn't profit, but we knew where to put our money. So we're good. And I thought, what are you talking about? Like, how do you sleep at night? But they felt really proud.
What we basically have is socialism for the uber rich and free market capitalism for the rest of us.
This is what I told them. I was like, wait a minute, hang on. You still have a job because I bailed you out. My tax dollars bailed you out. And they were like, sucker.
I don't know. Maybe we are the losers here. I don't know.
Seriously. I'm glad we're talking about it. I don't feel like the scammers are going anywhere. You know, if MLMs get shut down, they're going to do something else. But the best way to get them to move along quicker is just to talk shit.
Yeah, look, no, they're not going anywhere. And I don't want to, you can't legislate bullshit out of existence. I'm not trying to do that. I have such contempt for people and institutions that prey on the credulity and desperation of others. And whether it's a MLM pyramid scheme or a life coach,
the military,
yeah, or a nihilistic politician, my rage is directed at the people who create and profit from these schemes, not the people who fall for them.
No.
And I commend you for doing all of this reporting because people should know about it.
Thank you. It's weirdly been fun.
Once again, the book is called Selling the Dream, and the podcast is called The Dream. This episode was produced by John Ahrens, edited by Jorge Just, engineered by Patrick Boyd, and Alex Overington wrote our theme music. I want to hear from you. You know it. Tell me what you think of the episode. You can drop us a line at thegrayarea@vox.com. And while you're here, just a quick favor. The recent Apple podcast update paused our subscribers, which means that you might not be getting all of our episodes. The horror, I know. So if you listen on Apple Podcast, here's the way to undo that. Go into the Apple Podcast app, find the Gray Area show page. In the top right corner, there's a download and pause icon. Please For the love of techno-solipsism, click unpause. It seems silly, but it could make a huge difference for the gray area. Unpause us. And thank you. New episodes of The Gray Area drop on Mondays. Listen and subscribe. The Gray Area is part of Vox, which doesn't have a paywall. Help us keep Vox free by going to vox.com/give.